Our next author presenter is Dr. Per Byland from Oklahoma State University and his book, The Problem of Production, A New Theory of the Firm.
Thank you, Mark. So this book, The Problem of Production, A New Theory of the Firm, is, believe it or not, a book about production and the firm. It's a work on theory, which I hear is something that we are sometimes doing as Austrians, and we're pretty good at it as well. So it is really the outcome of my feeling a bit of an unease when reading theories of the firm in the literature, both those published in Austrian journals, which are sort of approaches to the firm based off of mainstream theories, but specifically mainstream theories, which tend to approach the firm as something they have already conceived of, and then they try to find a rationale or a value for having that firm that they have already defined. Coase is probably the best example of that, Ronald Coase, the Nobel Prize laureate, where he starts by defining the firm as a hierarchy. And then he says, well, let's assume that there is a cost to the market, to trading in the market. By definition, that cost only applies to the market, so not inside the firm. Or there you go, a rationale for the firm. Well, that argument always sounded a little hollow to me, simply because the conclusion is in the definition already. So is there another way then that we can approach the firm that does not follow directly from the definition? Of course, to Coase and all of these other theorists, what they end up doing is trying to figure out or substantiate their definition of the firm, why the firm is different. So they always tend to deviate into legal discussions, saying that, well, the firm is different because a contract within the firm, an employment contract, is legally different from a market contract. Well, that's not an economic theory of the firm. That does not explain why there are firms, economically speaking. Do they actually have a value or a function in the market as it is? Or is it something that just follows law? And a legal explanation of the firm is something that is very hard to substantiate economically. I mean, it's just anything arbitrary that you add to the mix, basically. So what I tried to do here is I started with a market, which many of these theories do, and I looked at the market the way it would be with no firms. And I asked myself, so what sort of problem, what sort of limitation is there to the market that could be solved by something that we could potentially refer to as a firm? Not defining the firm to begin with, not even having a sort of conceived notion of what the firm would need to be, but it would have to be some sort of production, of course, because that's what the market does. And what I did was elaborate a little bit on entrepreneurship and specialization and so forth, and I figured that specialization is something that is very core to the market process. And the division of labor is ever intensifying. But how does that happen? Well, Adam Smith tells us that it happens step by step, gradually. We just divide labor a little more, and that's how we get economic growth. Well, if you create a formal model, I'm not saying mathematics, so no one has to leave the room. But if you formalize this logically and look at a very highly specialized market, you would have transaction costs, like Coase would say. But also, how would you actually get to a point where you divide labor into more specific tasks? How would you specialize even further? Well, it would be very difficult because that needs coordination to begin with. But also, how would I, as a person trading in the market, having sort of a standard position in the market, how would I divide my labor? Say, I will specialize into the first third of a marketable task, and then someone else can do the rest. And I'm really, really, really efficient at this. Well, that makes me incompatible with the rest of the market. So I will need to find someone to do the other part of the task. Same if I have thought of a new way of organizing production, a new product, a new innovation, things like that, I basically end up outside the extent of the market, as Adam Smith would call it. my type of specialization, my extent of specialization would be go a lot further than the market has already, which means I would fall outside. I and the production process that I sort of established would fall outside of what is generally traded, which is pretty obvious. But that falling outside means also that that process is integrated. It will be identified as integrated by everybody else in the market. And therefore, we can refer to that as a firm or an island of specialization, as I call it in the book. And that places the firm within the process of economic growth, because that could be then the vehicle by which the market expands its extent and how the market pushes specialization to a new level. Or at least that is what I claim in the book. So the definition of the firm then follows from this argument based off of specialization and market trade, saleability of goods and so forth, that if I want to implement an innovation, a productive innovation, that does not work through simple trade in the market, I need to gather the people, gather the resources, and I need to establish all of it. It's an all or nothing kind of deal, whereas trade in the market, well, then I can coordinate things with different people and pay them whatever their fair share is, pay them their market price. Whereas within the firm or this little island of specialization outside the extent of the market, we all stand or fall with the success of the firm, because we can't turn around and sell whatever it is we produce to the market, because there is no market that is compatible with what we do. So then we would have a definition of the firm that follows from how we understand the market. And that's basically the argument of this book. Obviously, this was a little a brief explanation, because there are 165 pages in this book. But I tried to do a little bit of background in the book on the theories of the firm, where they stand at present. And in general, they're pretty faulty. There are Austrian attempts that are a lot better than the mainstream ones. The Foss and Klein book from 2012 is a good example of that. I take another approach, which is, of course, why you should buy my book when you buy Peter's book, and get a copy for your significant other as well. But I look at the theories and see what they have in common and what they're lacking and what they're not explaining. Just take Kosa's example again, just defining the firm like that, having a rationale for having a firm, it's not necessarily the same thing as explaining the process toward founding one. And that's something that I've shown in a couple of my papers in mainstream journals, so they're science. That Kosa's theory explains the rationale for having a firm, but it doesn't explain the process of establishing a firm. It doesn't show why there are firms. It just shows what the value would be of having a firm. And those are different, of course, not from a mainstream point of view, because then everything's like this. But if you see the market as a process, it's very different. So I look at those theories, and then I move into into specialization and productivity and look at where that comes from. I look at entrepreneurship, and I look at sort of the deadlock that happens when people specialize very far and are subject to the extent of the market. What if they would go further? Well, they cannot, except for a coordinated effort. And that's what I call the island of specialization. And that's my theory of the firm, or maybe my theory of the firm, depending on how you read the book. But as it is an academic book, it comes at a bargain price of $150. What can I say but buy the book? Thank you.